morning, everyone. Great to see you. And welcome to part one of the sermon. And it is a little bit different today. I've been here 6 years. Andy and I have never done this, but we're doing a bit of tag team this morning. So, yeah, you can see Andy the Rock Hickford on the left there. So, it's like we say, just to remind you about this Quest series, it is not business as normal. And that's why we're sort of, you know, trying to demonstrate this in the way we're structuring services a little bit this morning. It's not just trying to be window dressing. We just know that, you know, the church is perfectly designed to get the results that it gets. And we feel that there's a lot of people who are sort of dissatisfied with their Christian lives. In fact, that's a little sub-question that maybe you can have in the back of your mind as I speak this morning. Are you satisfied with your experience of faith? Just let that kind of ruminate around in your mind as I talk, please. But we sense that God is wanting to take all of us from the very deeply spiritual here to the babes in the faith into a deeper relationship with him. And we're wanting to be dependent on God's power for that, dependent on him. We can't conjure that up, no matter how well I preach or what. I can't do anything in my power, but God, by his Spirit, can do it. And I don't know about you, but I've been really grateful for the service so far. I think it's been great. Great opening video. How fantastic to be reminded of the gospel of Jesus all over again. Christ has done it all for us. And that, I just think that was such a fresh and exciting new way to communicate that gospel. And perhaps you engaged with it a bit more than we perhaps normally do. You just, yeah, this is dynamite. We are set free. We are forgiven. We have a relationship with God restored. That's great. And yeah, if we're honest, we also have this kind of underlying dissatisfaction rumbling on, don't you? Some of us do. You know, we've been in churches a long while. We know how fantastic the gospel is, but somehow there's a kind of gap between how great we know the gospel is and yet still how we're struggling in our lives to see the breakthrough and live in the freedom and live in the abundance of life that Christ said he had for us. And some of us then start to get a little bit dissatisfied. And so far in the Quest series, we've talked about some of the reasons that might be, stages of faith and things like this. This morning, I just want to flesh out a tiny bit more in part one of this tag team contest of, and the sermon is called The Goal and the Guide. The Goal and the Guide. And I want to suggest, and I know I've marked out this territory quite a few times before, so no need to labour it, that part of the reason that some of us feel dissatisfied is because we're still struggling with quite a narrow view of the gospel. Still a wonderful gospel. It is true that in Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, Christ has done everything, and there is nothing we can do to earn salvation. Absolutely nothing. But there is a place for training and effort. Remember, grace is opposed to earning, not to effort. There is still a place for us to activate the life of Christ within us. And so what I want to say this morning is on this quest that we're in, yes, Jesus is the goal. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. And surely I go to prepare a place for you. And that is lovely language about the fact that, yes, we know there is an eternal place with God. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. But Jesus also promised to be with us here now. Remember we said last time that God comes to us disguised as our life. A lot of us want to kind of get away from our lives. So we come on a Sunday morning to escape it. Whereas Jesus is wanting to do the complete opposite. He's wanting to come to you today to equip you for your life, not to run away from it and not to hide from it, not from any part of it. And that's why we are learning to be disciples of Jesus, because Jesus is teaching us, not just in our religious moments when we're together, not just when we're trying to make big moral decisions of a wrong or right nature, but in the nitty-gritty of ordinary everyday life, in the humdrum and in the dark and despairing moments. So a question I want to ask you is, have you got that gospel of eternal life, of abundant life that Christ has come? Or have you got a kind of vampire Christianity as Dallas Willard calls it. Now, vampire Christianity is a kind of fake Christianity, to be honest. Vampire Christianity says this: I want the blood of Christ, but I don't really want the life of Christ. I want the blood of Christ because I know through the blood of Christ he forgives me. And actually, because of that, I've got a ticket to heaven. And so our gospel becomes really about getting into heaven after we die. Whereas Jesus was coming and he was getting heaven into people before they die. Do you see the difference? Vampire Christianity is fake Christianity. It wants to just live off the blood of Christ. It doesn't really want to engage with the life of Christ. And so we have a devotional life, or we try to have a devotional life, but we don't have a life of devotion. We try to nurture a prayer life, but we don't actually have a praying life. Do you see the difference? And we come to church on a Sunday, and you leave kind of feeling, well, a little bit sort of guilty, really, because you know it's not really going so well. And guilt's a negative thing, because guilt just gives you oughts. Oh, I ought to do more. Oh, I ought to do more. It doesn't really give you the how-tos. So how do we engage with this Christ who wants to be with us every moment of every day? And so there's a real simple message for this part one, and it's simply this. God wants to be intimately involved in the whole of your life. Why don't you just say this sentence with me? Say it together. God wants to be intimately involved in the whole of my life. That is what discipleship to Christ is all about. But we settle for less so often. And folks, I don't have time to go right the way through the Bible to explain this, but let me take you to the opening of the Bible, please, in Genesis. And Genesis chapter 1, when God says this, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule or have dominion, we have in other translations. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. Do you know what the original mandate for humankind was for us? It was this: to rule, to have dominion, to be responsible for the earth under God. We are training for reigning, as we've said before. But mistrust of God, as we saw in that earlier gospel presentation, has led to all kinds of problems, big problems. Dominion means governance, and every human being has a kingdom. We have a kingdom. We think, I don't have a kingdom, I'm not a king or a queen. You have a kingdom or a queendom. It's strange language to describe it, but your kingdom or your queendom is the effective scope of your influence in the world. It affects your family, it affects your work, it affects your colleagues, it affects the people you're sitting next to now, it affects the person you buy your coffee off in the morning. It is the effective reign of your influence, the scope of your influence. That's your kingdom. And what's the biggest threat to the kingdom of God? It's my kingdom. If I do as I was originally created to do, live my kingdom under the authority and influence of God, that is good. But if I live under the authority and influence of what Joe thinks is great, it is not so good. And the consequences of not being under God's rule is devastation, wars, broken homes, broken relationships. But here comes the reading for this morning. From Colossians 1. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, says Paul, and I will fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servants by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a big, big sentence. Actually, I could have picked from any one of 60 kind of references in the New Testament to the fact that Christ is in us, and it's a mystery. but God's revealing it now to his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, there's one passage in the Bible that talks about being born again, and we've tended to make quite a big thing of that. Over 60 to this fact that Christ, you know, we better pay attention to this, hadn't we? This is obviously a very, very important theme that we need to grasp. And Paul also says, you know, my dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Christ is in me, but he's forming me. He's in me, but my character is being formed by him. How does that character get formed? Obviously, it's not by, you know, just sort of feeling guilty and rotten and apologizing for our lives the whole time. There must be more to it. It is formed as we learn to trust Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and by bringing the whole of our lives under his lordship. Not just keeping a little separate compartment marked religious bit. We'll let Jesus have that, and we come to church and we engage with worship. But then there's this other bit called the relationship with my husband or my wife. Then there's this bit called the relationship with my boss. Then there's this other bit called my relationship to my neighbours who really irritate me. Then there's other bit that's called my relationship to my mother-in-law. Then there's this other bit called my... And, you know, we're going to keep a few of those doors closed, because actually we don't really want God to get his hands on those bits. You've got to let Jesus be Lord of all your life. And the journey of discipleship, of really activating the gospel. What do I mean by that? I mean, we know that Christ has done it all on the cross, but how do we rid ourselves of this sin and this selfishness is to open up our lives more and more, opening every door to him. That is eternal life. Jesus once stood on a hillside in front of all the wrong people, not religious people at all. People who were broken, people who were messed up, people who were sinners, and he gave them an extraordinary vision. These were the little people. These were not politicians, not bankers, not very rich people, not very important people. These were the no-hopers. And he said, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. He gave them a vision, and then he gave them a way by which they could live in the truth of that. The power of sin and rebellion to God broken in our life through his saving work on the cross, but now living in us, God will supply the power to live for him. With my relationship to God restored, I can talk to him about what he and I are doing together in the kingdom, and the homework, the little take home, mustn't call it the homework. Oh man, what a fight. The little take home exercise that we've got, soul training we call it, to pray, like literally first thing in the morning, even before your eyes have opened, if you prefer, to pray this prayer. Lord, what are we doing together today? This is just a way of reminding you that every single moment of that day is lived with God. And then just as you go to sleep, as your head's on the pillow again at night, say, Lord, what did we do together? And where did we not do stuff together? To review that. Well, also, those of you whose mobile numbers we've got, we're going to text you at a random time in the week. Definitely not during any of our religious meetings, not during a home group, not during a prayer time, not during the day, not on a Sunday, but at some random time when we hope you're going to be involved in all kinds of things. I wonder what all of us will be doing. My guess is that some of us will be getting tents with our kids. Some of us will be involved at work. Some of us will be preparing a meal. Some of us will be doing... And this text is going to come, and it's going to remind you, Christ is with you right now. Now, are you living with him? Can you be conscious of Christ in you? That's just a little bit of fun that we're going to do this week. If we don't have your mobile number, you'd like to give it to us, just hand it in at the information desk. But I don't mean to sound arrogant. I need to move on quickly here. But a lot of people come to me and they say, oh, you know, I've got a big decision. I just don't know what God wants. I'm really seeking God's will, and I don't know what he wants. I don't wish to be arrogant, but I do know what God wants for you. I do. Is that arrogant? I, ju- I know what God wants you to do. Shall I tell you? You could pay big money for this anyway. I'm giving it away free this morning. Do you want to know what God wants for you? I tell you, He wants you to do the next right thing in your life. That is God's will for you. That is His plan and that is His purpose. He's prepared it ahead of time for you. I know this. God simply wants you to do the next right thing. I don't know what that is. You're going to have to ask Him. It's as simple as that. It's also as frightening as that in some ways. You will discover that it is very difficult. I'm going to say almost impossible to do. You need grace. Christians, a friend of mine says, should burn grace like a Boeing 747 burns fuel. But we are utterly dependent upon God for the energy and the power to supply us to help us do the right thing. If you go through your life trying to do the right thing, you can't do it, can you? You've got to draw on a power that is utterly external to what you can summon up. And that is the grace of God. Folks, this is the good news. It's limitless. God's grace is never going to run out. We have got to burn that baby like rocket fuel. We need grace. We need God's help. We need His power to do the next right thing. To live within the kingdom of God. Very famous verse from Proverbs. I love this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't just trust your own understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge Him. And He will make smooth your path. That is, He'll act with you, and you'll be in the company of God in everything you do. That's what we're learning as disciples of Jesus. I love the way the Message puts this verse. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep us on track. I want to suggest that one of the things we do wrong as a church, and I apologize for my part in this, is we do perpetuate this kind of dualism that goes on all the time, that God is really interested in the religious things in my life, but He's not interested in the other stuff. God is really interested in religious people, ministers, elders, missionaries. We know that because we pray for them, don't we? If someone is going to work for a Christian organization, there is every chance we will get them up and pray for them. Why? Because we think that's such good, honorable work. If someone is going to be a hairdresser, if someone's going to work in Tesco's, we do not get them up and pray for them. And I confess that is a failing. I'm sorry we've done that because we have accidentally perpetuated the myth that somehow missionary service is honourable when it's working overseas for a Christian organisation and somehow not honourable if you're an accountant. What's the difference? There isn't one, folks. We are all in full-time Christian service. There's no such thing as not being in full-time Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are full-time in Christian service. God wants to be intimately involved in the whole of our life. And what we have to do is close the gap between what we considered once was spiritual and what we considered once isn't spiritual, as we realize there is no divide. Everything in life is spiritual. You can't have a devotional life with God and somehow not care about your hurting teenage son or daughter. That cannot be. God is interested in the whole of your life. So let me finish with this. What are we going to do? What will we do? Well, I think we'll do the only thing we can do. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What we have to do, folks, is repent. Now, I know that is a very loaded term. And generally, when a minister says repent, they're issuing it as some kind of threat. Repentance doesn't mean you better shape up and get your act together or else. Repentance actually means change your whole way of thinking. See this gut world as completely God-bathed. See your life as being important to God and that you live the whole of the context of your life with this quest. Jesus is my goal and he is my guide. He is with me every single moment of the day. Some of us rely too heavily on a conversion experience that happened 20 years ago. But we need to be converting to Christ every day. Every moment of every day, converting to Christ. What is the next right thing that I'm doing with Jesus? What is the next right thing to do? So here's what's going to happen. The band are going to come back and they're going to lead us in some songs now. But this isn't business as normal. So I'd like to make a suggestion. I'd like to suggest to those who sort of sing things normally, unquestioningly, to really go deeper and really engage with the songs. I'd like to suggest for those who don't normally sing, that maybe you do, actually. You may have good, strong reasons why you don't sing. You may have very principled reasons why you don't sing during a time of where. Why don't you surrender that for a bit? I'd like to suggest for others, there's going to be some people here who are going to pray. I'm here. There's a prayer team. There are others who haven't come intending to pray for people, but who would pray with you. And I want to say this. I have this sense that some of us, you know, we're a bit stuck in our lives. We should pray together. We're a community. We haven't come to a show this morning. This isn't the church show. This is the community of God. And we should pray for one another. There are some parents here. I know you're really anxious about your kids. Well, let us pray for you. There's some kids here who are probably pretty anxious about their parents. Let's pray for you. You know, there's some teachers here who are in nightmare situations. Let us pray for you. I mean, I could go on. You get the thing. I know we don't like to, and I know that probably only two or three people have come forward because we're British and we don't really like making sure. We don't want people to know that we need to depend on God more. I understand that. I understand that. I know in my heart that more than two or three people need to be prayed for, and it doesn't disappoint me. Honestly, it doesn't, if only two or three people come forward. But what I want to say this morning is, let's not just make this business as normal. Let's not just have a sing song in the next 10 minutes or so. Let's really try as deeply as we can with our hearts to focus on God, to ask that question, God, what's the next right thing to do? Because I don't know I can do it. But with your help, I actually can. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. It could be as simple as getting a coffee for someone after the service, putting a hand on their shoulder and saying, how are you? That might be the next right thing. But for others, it could be a little bit more. It could be a bit scarier than that. We need to burn grace like a Boeing 747. And you're going to need God's help to do whatever it is. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we rejoice again hearing the gospel message this morning, that through Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, somehow you have saved us. You have saved the world, and that all we need to do is throw our trust now in you. But Lord, we don't want to live these kind of half-Christian lives, you know, or 80% Christian lives, or 5% Christian lives. We want to open up the whole of our lives. And forgive us, Lord, when we've got cynical and tired, or when we've just thought, actually, we're settled back for a kind of Christianity where we can still do everything we want. Because, Lord, it's not satisfying to live that way, and it certainly isn't the abundant, eternal life Jesus promised. We know that to move forward and to go deeper, we've got to open our lives up more to you. So, Father, help us to do that. And I want to pray, Father, as you instructed us to ask for your Holy Spirit, that third member of the Trinity, who actually moves so freely and can blow through our bodies and empower us for amazing works of service. Lord, we want to do the next right thing. Pour out your Spirit afresh on us, I pray, and enable us, Lord, to live with you and for you. in every single part of our lives. Amen. So please stand. We're going to sing together. If you would like prayer, please come out. Let one of us pray with you. We'd love to do that. But let's just meet with God as we do this.
Lowell was the son of missionary parents who, when he was quite young, took him to the frozen parts of Alaska as missionaries, as a missionary family. And his parents were involved in taking the good news of Jesus to remote tribal people. And Lowell got in a lot of trouble when he was 14, actually. And that's why I liked him a lot. He told us that he started going out with a girl, and he decided that before he kissed her, he ought to practice. So he decided to practice on a piece of metal on the side of his door, and it was minus 10. Yeah. He said, honestly, when the firemen arrived, he said they could not stand up for laughing. So I've always liked Lowell. And Lowell did the whole missionary kid thing, and then he went to Bible college and he got a theology degree. And he was a very, very able man. And so he got a heavy goods vehicle license. He got a helicopter pilot's license. He had experience in going to some of the worst places in the world and running feeding stations. And one day, as about a 27, 28-year-old guy, he was traveling in India. And he went to Mother Teresa's place in Calcutta, and he said, here I am. He said, I'm 28 years old, I've got a master's degree in theology, I've grown up in missionary context. He said, I've got a heavy goods vehicle license, I've got a helicopter pilot's license, I've run feeding stations around the world, and I will work with you for 3 months. Put me to work, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And this old wizened lady saw straight through him. And she said, but Lowell, do you know Jesus? And he said it was like this kind of laser right into his heart. He did all the stuff. He used all the words. His Christian life would put most of us here to shame. But the reality was, he walked away weeping from that lady because he knew he didn't know Jesus. And it was the start of his conversion. You see, the thing is, you can go to church, you can sing the songs, you can pray the prayers, you can become a partner, you can do this stuff, you can even do the takeaways. But Christianity, at the end of the day, is all about Jesus. He is the goal and he is the guide. And without Jesus, there is no faith. Christian, Christ, he's the one that counts. Ian's not going to help too much. Christ, don't mind. What would you say to Mother Teresa? Yes, yes, all this stuff. But do you know Jesus? At the heart of what we're about this morning is those words from the Gospels that Joe reminded of us of earlier, where Jesus said, just come to me. That's why we sing, that's why we pray, that's why we have teaching, because it's an invitation to come to me. And everybody in this room is capable of sitting in those seats and going through all the outward show of things just like Lowell did, but actually there's no reality to the relationship. It's called counterfeit Christianity. It's something we're all prone to, where we lose track of who this Jesus is. Do you know him? As we finish this morning, we're just setting out this morning the journey of what it means to be a partnership church in this series, Quest. Jesus is the goal and the guide. And, you know, when it comes to following this Jesus, knowing this Jesus, you know, there are different stages. For some of us this morning, we might be exploring Christ, not sure whether we're in or out. Haven't quite decided, working out whether he's true, whether we're prepared to follow him, exploring Christ. And then there's a bunch of us here this morning who are kind of growing in Christ. Maybe just have been Christians a while, maybe got baptized recently, and we're beginning to learn what it means to follow him. Others of us maybe have been following him for a number of years and would describe ourselves as close to Christ. And then there are those who are Christ-centered, where we are living our lives with him determining all our actions. That's the goal. But for those of us who maybe have been there at times, we know how easily this kind of slips. And Kev was speaking the words of God this morning to people who have been on that road, have been on that purpose of following Jesus and maybe have slipped off at different points. We know what that's like. And what we're trying to do as a church is we're just trying to help people saying, here's the goal and the guide. Do you know this Jesus? See, the thing is, there are these key movements in between each of those stages, things that help people move on to the next step. This is based on some research in America that talked to 157,000 followers of Jesus across dozens and dozens and dozens of different denominations and churches. And we're learning from that experience. What are those key things that help us move from one stage to another? And that's what we're going to be focusing on over these next few weeks as a church. In fact, that's what we're going to be focusing on the rest of our lives doing. Because it's all about this Jesus, and it's so easy to slip off the road, as Joe showed us in that brilliant sermon. If you haven't heard it, the one on stages of faith, you really do need to hear that. It helps you understand who we are and why we are. So all I'm going to say this morning, but just to let that question echo through to this morning. Do you know this Jesus? If you look at that slide, just say, where am I honestly? Because we all tend to overrate ourselves, don't we? Where am I honestly in this journey of faith with Jesus at the center of everything? What I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to stand. Yeah, now. And this is how our service is going to close. When I went to learn to pray at a monastery once, I sat in the coldest building I have ever been in, and all the monks in this 16th century chapel, I thought when I went in were praying, but when I sat down I could hear them snoring. And then a bell went at 6 o'clock. And they started to pray. And it was the first time I'd ever heard this prayer. And these monks were onto something, that this Jesus to be the center of everything we are and everything we do. There is no other Christianity. And so if you'd like to, I'd like to invite you to join with me as we pray this prayer. And then our service is over. But while folks get the coffee ready and parents go and pick up kids, we want to play you one more video and song. We started with a video declaring the wonders who Jesus is, and we want to finish doing that, as Jesus is the center of it all. So let me invite you to pray these words. Don't forget about the text. We'd love to send you a text this week. I love that idea when I get the text this week, that there will be hundreds of us at the same moment imagining what it means to be the church, scattered, following Jesus where we are. Let's rally together as we put Jesus at the center through this prayer. Christ as a light. Hold on, Si, take us back. We're right there. It was going to be such a good prayer. Are we okay? Yes. Okay. Let's try again. Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shield, overshadow me. Christ under me. Christ over me. Christ beside me, on my left and my right. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Be in the heart of each to whom I speak, and in the mouth of each who speaks unto me. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ as a light, Christ as a shield, Christ beside me on my left and my right.